Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands up to 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Team sport that, sometimes, it's something that happens to a lot of teams, and you have to be emotionally focused and, find a way. And a lot of times with guys like that, particularly this off season where Tyreek has invested so much in his teammates, that you're inspired to, to pick up the slack and make sure that they don't have the double somber moment of the injury, which you can't control, and then have to, have it happen in a loss. You just try to, do your best with what you can control, support your teammate, and try to get in the win column.
All right, and with Mike McDaniel talking about the loss of Tyreek Hill, we're joined this morning by Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fins podcast and A to Z Sports. Kyle, good morning. How you doing there, brother?
I'm doing good, Joe. How about yourself?
Man, I'm hanging in there. A little easier when you win a game. And by the way, let's start with the Tyreek Hill news and replacing him and – what will change the most and who needs to pick it up? I'm just curious, with Tyreek Hill now not going to be with the Dolphins the rest of the season.
Yeah, I don't think you replace Tyreek Hill, especially with an individual, right? I mean, the wide receiver room, splitting those reps between Malik Washington, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, probably a safe bet. But you look at some of what the Dolphins did after that injury happened, and you're seeing multiple tight ends, and that's what makes the return and the play of Darren Waller so important. And you've got two running backs, and one of them could be a really prominent player in the passing game, and Devon Achane. Jalen Waddle's target share is obviously going to go up significantly. I think it takes a village to replace a player that has the gravitational pull of a player like a Tyreek Hill. And I think that's something that you never want to see an injury happen, especially one as tough as the one that it looked like Tyreek had. But I know one of the talking points about when considering a future without Tyreek Hill was being a little bit more evenly distributed on offense. And I think if this is going to work for them, they're going to have to lean into that.
Yes, totally agree. Hey, I get asked this because there was so much talk about too deep. Do defenses now change the way they play, not so deep, come back up a little bit or more, not worried about the speed, especially of a Tyreek Hill now?
Yeah, I think you certainly it changes the numbers as far as if you want to bracket Waddle and what that does for your box count. And I think your counter there, if you're Miami, is we really haven't seen a lot of Waddle being the player utilized in motion at the snap. So if you want to manufacture momentum releases for him or free releases outside of putting him into a bunch or a stack or whatever else, I think that may be something that's a little different for Jalen, is him being the player who's in motion and therefore is guaranteed to get that free release because his momentum is forcing a player to play in pursuit of him before the snap happens.
Yeah.
But I certainly do think this conversation around the shell, it'll probably change. And then the Dolphins then will have to implement their own share of adjustments to counter that and ensure that when it's time to get your best receiver the football, you're putting them in positions to not allow coverage to blanket universally take him out of a game.
See, and I think Malik Washington is going to be that guy that's going to start doing a lot more things with the motion and get more involved and get his hands on the ball a little bit more because he's so sharp. They just count on, they trust him, picks up, you tell him something one time, and he just takes it all in. But, hey, the other one I wanted to get into is Darren Waller. I got to be honest with you, man. Been doing this a long time. I've never seen a guy 631 days since his last NFL game look this quick. And by the way, setbacks all through camp and the first couple of games to go out and look that good. Had fresh legs, obviously, but just no rust, no sign of rust the way he went up. And having that guy as a 6'6 weapon with those long arms and being able to go back, especially in the red zone, what a weapon if he can stay healthy the rest of the way, huh?
Yeah, it's a really, really cool story. And obviously for Darren and his journey, it's really cool to see that kind of come together for him in his first game with Miami. And he even had a few reps where he wasn't targeted on the play. But like you said, there's a dynamic ability there and a separation ability. And now you get a little bit of proof of concept, and we're winning across the face in the middle of the field on third downs. We're going up above the rim in the red zone. It was fun to see the ways he popped up, and I think they did a good job as far as third downs and in the red zone and making sure you're not putting too much on his plate. And if you told me he got 20 snaps a game, I'd be totally fine with it because yes, of what I think the impact of those 20 snaps would be each week.
Yeah. What a story. I mean, the mental health, the addiction, a leader in it, doesn't hide from it. The demons that he's dealt with to getting back out here. And by the way, has just kept himself, I guess his workouts are legendary since he stopped playing football the first time. So just a nice all around story as a leader and all the things that I didn't even know about here until recently, told by a family member who's a big fan of Darren Waller. So I got to ask you this one. Getting to the other side. First of all, Mike McDaniel's game plan, I thought was one of the best game plans for everybody. Offensive line, Tua, yeah, outside the pocket. I thought it was one of the best game plans I've seen Mike McDaniel have in a while.
Well, what really struck me was it felt more like the 22 offense, where you saw under center, you saw the boot action, you saw the play action with the boot and the stress that caused and the crossers that came out of that. And I thought Tua executed it well. It looked like kind of the bread and butter type of stuff when you go back to some of the foundational stuff of what this offense was built upon when it first started. And I think that's what's interesting to me with that game plan coming out of a self-scouting opportunity where you had 11 days between games. And in the first 3 weeks, the Dolphins were calling play action under 18.5% of their dropbacks. When the first season that Tua was with the Mike McDaniel, that number was 45%. So seeing how they came out against the Jets, I'm really fascinated to see if it looks similar and has a similar feel against Carolina. And if it does, especially with that under center and now without Tyreek Hill, I think you lean into that. And I think it maybe looks a little bit more traditional Shanahan-y. And I think that's your recipe for having a successful offense that can be productive and score enough points to give you a chance to win everything.
Boy, what a commitment to stick with the run. I know everybody's been asking for it, and boy, you got it. And it looked a lot better. I think, as you said, with the bootlegs and play action, it really, really opened up a lot of things. All right, to the other side. I still want to play all the young guys. I'm not changing. Hey, Jordan Phillips, Kenneth Graham, as long as you guys don't lose your confidence, you guys, I want you to learn, man. Keep going. You can't give up on them after four games for the guys that are struggling. But the run defense with these numbers, 158 yards a game, they're giving up 5.1 average. It's got to get better or it's going to make business real difficult going forward.
Yeah, I do want to give a compliment to the Jets and their offensive line. Their pass protection stuff was not good, but they have a really good group of guys to run the football with. And, you know, it is a group of young guys, and that's a headache that the Dolphins are going to have to solve long term. But I want to give them their flowers for their execution of it. It gets compounded by a quarterback in Justin Fields and what he does in the run game. And you could tell everybody was a little out of sorts with the fits and what Fields was doing with the mesh point and right. pulling. And sometimes he keeps and sometimes he doesn't. I don't think you'll face that degree of difficulty every week. If you told me when it's all said and done, that's one of the better run defenses in football. Now, that's not an excuse for almost 200 yards on the ground. We got to figure it out, right? But to your point with all the young guys that are playing, we just got to continue to get better playing the point of attack up front. I think that's the biggest thing is the consistency of that. And I don't think that field surface really helped on Monday night either. It looked pretty slick. You saw a lot of guys kind of struggling with footing. So if you're not consistent and disciplined with your pad level in the first place, and then you have that stacked on top of it, there's a couple of things here that, I'd like to think we're going to see a nice little bounce back from them, but the numbers are what the numbers are, and you face some prolific dual threat quarterbacks thus far, and Josh Allen and what he does with his legs and Justin Fields, so they got a lot to figure out.
Hey, my eyeballs told me Rasul Douglas and Jack Jones are really good. Even on the touchdown, the coverage was really, really good on what ended up being a hell of a catch, but what are your thoughts on the two vets on the outside?
Yeah, I don't think they're anywhere near the top of the list of what your problems look like right now.
No.
I mean, Jack Jones with that punch out was an outstanding effort play. He is a big-time juice guy. And Rasul had a couple of really nice run fits, tackles, had the pass defense where he fell off in zone coverage, his instincts taking over. I think that group is going to continue to solidify. Now, the nickel position, something that they got to figure out. The consistency of the backers behind the defensive line is something that you got to figure out. And you know, I think the group that needs to figure out the most is the guys on the edge right now. I think that's the group. You know, and if you'd have told me that a month ago, I don't know that I believe you. It said, hey, corners and edge, which one has more questions after four games? I say corner, but I think it's the edge group right now.
Who's struggling the most of the group? I know Chop Robinson, we keep hearing about Chop's, you know, hey, Chop's not getting there. And Jalen Phillips dropped back into coverage a little bit. What'd you think? Who's giving you the best pass rush right now of the four guys?
I think Jalen is comfortably, in my opinion, playing the best football. And it just hasn't shown up in the stat sheet yet. And I think the inverse of that is Brad has three sacks in the first three games. But you watch some of the run defense stuff, and when he's not getting tight ends or when the quarterback's not up in the pocket and kind of sliding his way to clean it up, I don't think that he looks like a guy who's knocking off the rust. And I think the question for him after missing all year last year, you're kind of 4 weeks in now, how much of this is rust versus how much of this is a guy who's had some injuries and now is trying to figure out what his ceiling is and what his floor is as a player right now. And we probably need a few more weeks until I feel like we have a definitive answer on that front. But the Chop thing's super frustrating because it's just not snaps, right? But then you watch some of the reps that he does get when he's on the front side and they run the ball, and it's not anchoring the way that it needs to. And that's a big part of the Dolphins' problem right now is early down success. So I think there's some problems here with a couple of these guys that are compounding each other, and it's Chop's got to hold the line cleaner. I think Bradley's got to play with a little bit more consistent separation, to play off of blocks and make plays and leverage his gaps.
Hey, before I let you run, how did Cole Strange play? Looked like just my eyeballs thought as the third guy now coming in and getting a chance to start, looked pretty good. And with that, how did Larry Borum do on the right side?
So, yeah, Larry got ran over by Michael Clemens on a pressure, and it was a really ugly rep. I thought the run game stuff was sturdy, and that's kind of where I sit with Larry is, you know, I think you're going to take some wins and losses in pass pro, but I think in the run game, he gives you more than enough to work with. And I thought that was the same against the Jets. And then for Cole, I think as a guy who only got here 3 weeks ago, there were ups and downs, but I think there was enough there that you give him another opportunity this week and look to see if he stacks and if he's better this week than last week. And I would expect that he would be. And if that's the case, that's going to be a really nice depth development for Miami with another guy who can play all three spots on the interior. So it wasn't like a prolific performance, but I think there's a lot to work with there. And I think it was really impressive the way that he came in after just being in the system for 3 weeks and applied it and the way that he played.
Good stuff, Kyle, as always. Really appreciate it. And hey, man, I feel good about this Carolina game. How do you feel before I let you ride?
Yeah, some good matchups here for sure. And, you know, we won't see Robert Hunt. Hopefully Rob's doing well and heals up. He had a muscle tear. He's on injured reserve. So I was bummed for that because Rob's one of my favorite guys from this past iteration and cycle of the team from that 2020 class. Big personality. He's a big-time presence on the field. But his absence will be big. And for Dolphins' defensive front that is looking to hold the line, Rob being in might give you a chance to help that cause a little bit. Yeah. So I like some of the matchups this week against Carolina.
All right, Kyle, thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
Of
Thank
course.
You. All right.
You too.
Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast and A to Z Sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, here's some news for the Dolphins from Marcel-Louis Jacques at ESPN. I guess Mike McDaniel just had his press conference. Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill may not need multiple surgeries after dislocating his left knee, Coach Mike McDaniel said Tuesday. McDaniel said Hill underwent a major knee procedure Tuesday to repair multiple ligaments and confirmed Hill will miss at least the remainder of the 2025 season. McDaniel said he has heard good things about any potential nerve damage to Hill's knee, which is possible after a dislocation, and added that he has not heard that the receiver will need multiple surgeries. Quote, it hasn't been deemed to be anything beyond this surgery, and we're very hopeful for it to turn out well. But no, it hasn't been explained that multiple surgeries are absolutely necessary. It's just executing this procedure and seeing what happens from there.
Good news. Because that's what, yeah, that was nasty as all get. It made my stomach turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks like too. DJ's leg after his ACL tear.
Yeah.
Ugh. It sucks too because, like you had said earlier in the show, Hawk, he was having the best game probably
that
of the season.
That was the game. That was the game. That's the one we were looking like. That was the connection. He was open everywhere, and Tua was hitting them open everywhere.
Yep. Jalen Waddle was got his, and like, whew, this is a big blow to this offense because, yeah, like OG Talk brought him Malik Washington. Jalen Waddle's not Tyreek, and Malik Washington's for sure not Tyreek.
Yeah, and again, though, he's the elite of the elite. So anytime a team loses their elite player, Aronde was making it seem like, hey, there's no plan B. Well, it's hard to have a plan B when your plan A is that good.
Yeah,
and Tyreek is that good, obviously. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously this changes the entire complexion of the offense. Devon Achane, I was saying earlier, Crowder is the MVP of this team, as far as I'm concerned, this season. Like, he has been unbelievable. But Tyreek, not having even the threat of him out there, is really a blow to the offense.
And that's why, can Jalen Waddle do – somebody asked me today, can Jalen Waddle do what Tyreek did? I said, no. To your point, Jalen Waddle's good. He's not Tyreek Hill.
Right.
And so now it just starts trickling downhill. Who's the three? Who's the four? And
right, but
Achane should get 18 carries a game, 10 targets.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Waddle's not Tyreek Hill. Bro, the Dolphins are paying this guy $80+ million. He's got to step up his game. He's got to be available. And I'm not saying he played bad last night, but like, he's got to be a number one wide receiver. He's getting paid like a number one wide receiver.
That's fair. I mean, it is. They're paying Tua, how many? $40 million this season? $50 million?
I think it was 42. I think we looked it up. It's a bunch of damn money.
I mean, they've got a quarterback who's making A-list money and a receiver who's making A-list money. Like, there shouldn't be this unbelievable drop-off where you go, oh, my God, the offense disappeared.
And I've said it, and Solana brings it up, what is it, 3,000-yard seasons in a row, and then he gets paid. They give him the big check. I wasn't impressed by Jalen Waddle when he was having 1,000-yard seasons. To be honest, like, I think he can never be an elite receiver. He's never going to be talked about like Ja'Marr Chase or Tyreek Hill or Jetta or Garrett Wilson. I don't think he has it in him. And he gets hurt all the time.
I mean, you better step up. I have a big game next week. I got him on my fantasy team, so let's go, Waddle.
Yeah, all right. Now the truth comes out.
Yeah.
Speaking of wide receivers and things Mike McDaniel said, he did speak earlier today, Hawk, about 2.5-3 hours ago. He was asked about a potential signing for the Dolphins wide receiver room because of Tyreek Hill's injury. And a lot of the beat reporters pointed out that he didn't rule out any sort of potential free agent signing. And we found out an hour ago that the Miami Dolphins have indeed gone out and signed, according to Tom Pelissero, they're expected to sign Cedric Wilson Jr. off the Saints practice squad.
All right. Welcome home, Ced.
What's Robbie Chosen doing nowadays?
If we bring Robbie Chosen back.
Let's bring back all our heroes, starting with Matt Mervis.
Surprise, Doc. None of these teams in the wild card picked up Matt Mervis for their roster. Yeah.
Tell you what, sounds like the Cubs need a bat. Down 1-0.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you.
It's FM 104.3 WQAM. Miami Dolphins getting set to take on the Carolina Panthers. Miami Hurricanes getting set to take on FSU. We got it all happening for us, baby. Pack day tomorrow on WQAM. You got sports day tomorrow, Vlad? You guys are on before the Canes?
We are the preview before the preview. We're the preview before the pregame.
There you go.
12 to 3.
Got that going 12 to 3. 3, you got countdown to kickoff, and then live from Tallahassee, Joe Zagacki and Don Bailey Jr. will have your call of all the action. So get ready for it, ladies and gentlemen. We got a packed day tomorrow full of sports. It's going to be gooseys on top of gooseys. Yes. I cannot wait.
Especially here in Odyssey, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You have Canes, Knowles. You know, yep. Pregame starts at 3, and then you also have Miami Heat versus Orlando Magic. Preseason action, game one.
Oh, so excited. So excited. What a day it's going to be for me tomorrow. And we got UFC. What?
Oh, yeah, you do have UFC. What is it, UFC 320?
320. 320. And coming up next hour, we'll talk to a couple of the combatants. Yuri Prohashka, super weird guy. And he swam under an ice lake.
What?
In the Czech Republic.
For what? For fun? For leisure?
Intangibles? I don't...
You're not, clearly, I mean, if you're in the Czech Republic, you're definitely intangible. But
just out of curiosity, why did you say he swam under?
Well, because he went into a hole in the lake that was frozen, and he swam under the ice.
Okay.
Which is stupid. But I'm not going
to
say
especially,
that.
Especially, I mean, like old boy said, he had to grab the Blackfoot from Mr. D.
The Dolphins.
Hey, yeah, that don't sound like something black folks be doing. I'm going to just throw that out there. Like,
you think?
Yeah. Like, if swimming kick a lot of our asses, you crawling in a hole and not being able to find that hole is just terrifying.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That fight, him versus Khalil Roundtree, that fight can't miss. That fight's going to be amazing. That fight ain't going to miss.
Two guys throwing haymakers?
Haymakers. Can't miss. Mike McDaniel, let's get to our headlines here, which are brought to us by our friends over at Doral Kia. Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or at DoralKia.com. Mike McDaniel was asked about an idea that old Tobes had after 2 weeks and was asked about the possibility of giving a little ring-a-ding-ding to Christian Wilkins. Here's what Mike McDaniel had to say at today's presser.
Some of the glory years of the Dolphins' defensive line this decade featured Zach playing alongside Christian Wilkins. Have you or Chris or anyone from the team reached out to Christian or his agent to see if he's healthy, see if there could be a possible fit, bring him in?
Doors are always open. Very happy with the progression of what we need from our young guys, and I'm focused on the Panthers and our own guys specifically. But Chris is always at work, and there's never anything that's closed. But for me, I'm better suited for Panthers and our own player topics.
He's a liar.
He's a liar that the door's open?
He said the doors are never closed.
Hmm?
He closed Cam Smith.
Well, yeah.
And said that.
Opened the door and kicked his ass
and
out.
And said, we're not putting him on the practice squad or any chance of him coming back or anything like that.
To be fair, they left that door open for a long time.
They tried.
Yeah.
They tried to say,
sometimes,
hey, come on in.
It gets to the point, Vlad, you got to cut bait.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know, like, unless he's not healthy. I mean, obviously that's one thing, but I don't know. We haven't, like, it was weird, the Christian Wilkins thing, because it's like this happened, then the Raiders smear campaign goes down on Christian Wilkins like crazy. Then we don't hear anything, like nothing, like there were no words, no updates, nothing. This guy's just sitting in the wind. I don't know what's going on. I assume he's going to have a grievance.
If he has a grievance, he can only bolster his grievance by playing. because remember the Raiders said he couldn't play because he was injured.
Yeah, they said that he was botching the rehab, wouldn't do what he wanted to do. But then it seemed like that really wasn't the reason they got rid of him. They were claiming that he had this incident with a teammate that the teammate went to HR about. So, like, which one is it? I'm just, like, look, it was an odd thing. It was just, boom, out of nowhere. Guy we gave $100 million to. Now, I know it wasn't the same front office. There's new management there. But, I mean.
Listen, regardless of any management you have, they all have the same basic goal.
Win.
To try to get as much talent as possible.
Right.
So, if they did something along those lines, they're looking at that $100 million, let's try to get from underneath it. Simple as that. Because if Christian Wilkins could play, and he was a pro bowler, and he was balling, they would pull him aside and say, hey, man, come on. You see what I'm saying? So there's been all the rules that people use to get rid of people. You got somebody on your team that you've let get away with the same stuff. So I don't know about that. And it could also be this. The confrontation or the situation with Christian Wilkins and the other player, you had to pick between Christian Wilkins and the other player.
Man, who was the other player? Max Crosby or Brock Bowers? Like how many guys on that roster?
I don't know. But I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. But I do know this. If they got rid of you because they said you botched your rehab, and you're going to require it. They said, remember, it started off, he's going to require another surgery, and Chris Wilkins said no. Right?
Right.
The only way you can fix that is by playing. If you don't play this whole year, mm-hmm. then they're going to look more accurate than you are.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it is an interesting thing. Like, look, I don't know if things left on the best terms because obviously, like, he didn't get the contract that he wanted. But if you are going to play again, wouldn't you want to go somewhere where, you know, you are familiar at least with somebody you're playing next to in Zach Sealer? Now, it's not the exact same system because he wasn't here with Anthony Weaver, but, like, I don't know. Can't hurt with the way that they've been going.
Mm-mm.
Can't hurt at all. Mike McDaniel did, though, give some advice or some words of wisdom on the young players. Here was the Dolphins head coach on the young guys coming along.
You bring new players in that aren't familiar with what you're asking them to do. You know, it's like learning how to tie your shoes. Okay, young players. There's a point where they know exactly what to do. Like when you first learn how to tie your shoes, and you have like the little bunny ear saying in your head, and then there's some point where the reps occur where it just clicks, where you're not saying the saying anymore, and you're able to. That's what a player needs to do when you're playing 1 of 11 in convicted technique and fundamentals, and so the expectation is that it's not avoiding that; it's making sure that there is consistent growth from those players and that they're getting better, whether that be within a game or from week to week.
He's done? I thought there was more.
I think there was more. I think I ended the cut.
Wow, you did.
There was more.
You did the world a favor, man. Shout out to you.
Where was he going with that?
He didn't
with
know. He like, didn't know. He caught himself.
I think he thought he had something, and I think midway through he goes, maybe they'll forget that I said that.
He did. You
maybe
saw
if it. I just keep saying words, they'll forget about this. Because that had nothing to do with tying your shoes.
He caught himself.
It's kind of the skill. You have the skill to play. I mean, you have the athletic ability to play the position, but you don't have the skill to be a professional yet. And you only acquire that skill by reps. And it's unfortunate that, you know, this is on-the-job training. And so, yeah, we're going to –
You were much more efficient than he was.
I know.
He was caught up in the air with no timeouts, and he was like –
I mean, he basically went to shoot a jump shot and then realized that he had to pass it because he's too short.
When do you think?
And there was nowhere to pass.
Yeah, where do you think at the clip? I'm going to play this. When do you think at the clip he realizes I have nowhere to go with this?
you bring new players in that aren't familiar with what you're asking them to do. You know, it's like learning how to tie your shoes. Okay, young players. There's a point where they know exactly what to do, like when you first learn how to tie your shoes, and you have like the little bunny ear saying in your head, and you're
right here. That's it.
And then
right there, yeah, the same. The bunny ears saying in your head, and then he caught himself.
Because we were all winning with the tying the shoe,
right?
And then you got to tie your shoe 1,000 times before you just is second nature, right? Boom, got it. Move on.
Nope.
But no. You got to throw the sprinkles on the story by telling the bunny ear story. And now we're sitting there like a bunch of kids.
Not a loop, swoop, and pull guy, huh?
We're confused.
Right. Which, to be honest with you, I never learned the bunny ear song.
I didn't either. I didn't do the bunny ears either.
You lost. That's where you lost everybody. Like, I'm more than sure Perk looked over at Omar. Did you learn the bunny ear song? No, I did not. Right? I mean,
the bunny. You think our boy Hal, you know, from West Palm, you think he's remembering when he tied his shoes in bunny ears? Come on, man. Some of these guys are a little.
Do kids even tie their shoes anymore?
They got Velcro straps, right? Like, don't they
got my son's got slip-ons.
Slides, right? They got slides. Yeah.
I'm confused. Like, I look at my daughter's sneakers and I'm like, why are your strings so long? Are you doing that on purpose?
No, for some reason, like, whether you wear a size 8 junior or a size 15, everybody get the same size shoelace.
Crazy.
I think Greg Cody's remembering when he tied his shoes. Funny.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, what is he talking about?
As soon as he said bunny ears, that's it. That's it.
I don't get it.
You bring new players in that aren't familiar with what you're asking them to do. You know, it's like learning how to tie your shoes, okay? Young players. There's a point where they know exactly what to do, like when you first learn how to tie your shoes, and you have like the little bunny ear saying in your head, and you're
that's it, that's
and
it.
And then there's
that's
some it. Point where the reps occur where it just clicks, where you're not saying the saying anymore, and you're able to. That's what a player needs to do.
I think it's right there.
One of 11. And
no,
I thought it was. I think he was like, "I'm gonna land the plane." Oh no, there's more clouds.
Ears. The bunny ears.
One.
Wait, when he said the bunny ears is where he hit turbulence.
Yeah, absolutely.
The oxygen max fall down.
All the masks fall. The plane's shaking. We put the mask on, and we thinking, do we put our kids' mask on first or ours? Because, you know, they tell you put yours on first, then help somebody else, right? And then, like, we might hit an air pocket where you drop 1,000 feet and whatever. And, like, yeah.
Jay says, stop acting like y'all don't know the bunny ear method. The bunny ears is it's two loops and you tie them. That's how it goes, right? Like you tie, make two ears, flip them and go. I didn't do that method. That's not what I did, but I'm aware of it. I've taught my kids how to tie their shoes, although my son wears slip-ons. I don't know if he's recalled it. But I don't use the bunny ear method.
You know what? Tying the shoe went the way of writing in cursive.
Yes.
Remember you had to learn to write cursive when you were a kid? And now if you even suggest that to a kid, they look at you like you crazy.
If you're not an athlete, do you need it anymore?
Wait, do kids even write cursive anymore?
Yeah, no. Kind of.
It's like, all print.
They do it in elementary school.
Print. They do a lot of printing.
But they're way more into know how to type.
Jennifer learned the bunny ears.
That's right.
Yeah.
Crazy. Take a break. Back after this.
Any of you watch the Thursday night football game last night? Happened to be a great game.
I did. I put my bet in after sundown. I don't want you to think that I was making a sports wager, Solana, during the Day of Atonement. But someone needs to atone for the Rams being 8.5-point favorites, which is what I bet, because that was, I mean, they made it a game at the end. It was never going to be 8.5. They made it a game at the end, but man, Mac Jones came out the first two drives. I don't know if you were watching the beginning of the game. Holy hell. Mac Jones looked like Mac Jones. Mac Jones looked like the best quarterback. He looked like the quarterback Ben Volen was telling us about when he was with New England.
I was going to say, a lot of us owe Ben Volen a huge apology.
Holy mackerel, did he look good.
That's the tree, the McDaniel, Shanahan, McVay. That's the whole tree. They were all in Atlanta together.
Mac Jones or Tua Tagovailoa?
Oh, Mac Jones after last night. That guy was unbelievable. You don't even need a decent receiver.
33 of 49, 342 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
I feel comfortable saying Tua won't throw for more yards than Mac Jones threw last night the rest of this season. I swear, I feel comfortable saying that.
I think Sunday is the Dolphins game. This, I feel like this season is head, and I know they're missing Tyreek. This wasn't part of the plan. But I feel like this season has been heading on this trajectory to being in Carolina on Sunday, putting up a 40 burger, the defense looking like we thought it was going to look. I feel like, and now with Chuba Hubbard out too, like, I just feel like Sunday is going to be that game. And then all of a sudden we're going to have two dubs in a row and we're going to be talking about, hey, it's all coming together.
Okay, sounds good. But if we go it with a game plan for Tua to throw the ball 49 times, we're going to lose. That offensive line can't block them 49 times.
Did I give you the Tua props yesterday? Let's see here.
You were off yesterday.
Oh, well, I must have been going over them in my head. His over under is 225.5 on yards. Over under on passing touchdowns is 1.5.
Well, it's got to be over, right? If we're taking Darren Waller 2 touchdowns again, then he's got to have 2 passing touchdowns.
No brainer. And probably 3 or 4.
225, I think. I think that's an over.
You know Jalen Waddle's receiving total?
67.
Yeah.
Yeah, 60.5. Yeah. Achan, 36.5. Malik Washington, 32.5. Darren Waller, 30.5.
I like Malik Washington.
So Malik Washington.
How about this? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say Malik Washington's so interesting to me because I think he's going to eat, because I think they're going to feature him more. But is it going to be a handoff technically with him coming across the line of scrimmage and motion,
right,
like Crowder?
Just get the ball in his hand somehow, get cutesy.
Right. I don't know if it's going to be passing yards, if it's going to be reception yards, if it's going to be rushing yards. Like, I don't know, but I do feel like he's going to have a big game.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 20.5 yards. And this one really fascinates me. The over-under for Julian Hill is 1.5 yard receiving.
A catch.
Will he get a catch? Does it count? Does 2-point conversion doesn't count for yards,
no,
right?
No, it does not.
Yeah. Will Julian Hill catch a ball? Although, I will tell you that Julian Hill.
You're acting like he's a 2-point sniper.
He's a machine.
He got 1 2-point conversion in the preseason.
Wasn't that their only 2-point conversion this season?
Yep.
He's a machine. That's their go-to guy.
And he bobbled it.
He almost was out of bounds. He was very close. Yeah, Julian Hill, though, sometimes they throw those screens that are almost backwards passes that I could see him having a catch and -1 yard.
Oh, for sure. Like
having a catch and going under.
For sure.
100%.
Yeah.
How about receptions, though? Jalen Waddle, over under on total number of receptions, 5.5.
Over.
You feel like that has to be over, right?
I feel like, but as soon as you said it, I wanted to hear Malik Washington's.
3.5.
Over.
No, I'm telling you, be careful. Be careful. Don't just assume.
They're runs. They're technically runs.
Malik Washington is featured, I'm telling you, but he's running behind Tua. Tua pitches it to him. It's a rush. So You got to think about it with Malik Washington. You got to bet but smart.
This is the first game with Tyreek out. So now Malik has to go. He has to go out in routes more. And then okay. They got Kina Ana in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to play the other big boy?
Westbrook Akine?
Yeah, there we go.
He's 1.5, but minus 180.
Wow.
But he usually just gets one grab a game. Yeah. I bet him last week to have one catch.
He hasn't been featured.
Why is it
at all?
Why is it over under 1.5 at minus 180?
Tyreek's
a
out.
Huge favorite.
Tyreek's out. They just think he's going to get the ball more.
And there's Julian Hill, 1.5 for reception. Will Julian Hill catch a ball?
I'm going to do a Julian Hill reception yard parlay.
This is what I...
You're just waiting for him to catch the ball.
This is the show I've wanted to do for 3 years.
The guy's been, he's been trying to get Tobin to do this show on Game Day Uncensored for 3 years now. Game Day Uncensored, by the way, Sunday, 9 a.m., Tobin, Solana, Omar Kelly. I'm about to record 10 or more receptions. Waddle plus 1,500. Achan plus 1,750.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, they got to spread it around. They can't try to make Jaylen Waddle Tyreek Hill. That would be a terrible game plan because he's not.
Oh, by the way, I did put in Tua rushing over because it was down to 1.5. Remember, I think it went up to 2.5 for a brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet the Tua rushing over at 1.5.
It's like if in Baltimore, if Derrick Henry gets hurt, you can't just put the next running back in there and say, go get him, big man, because he's not Derrick Henry. Jaylen Waddle's not Tyreek. You can't just say, go run his routes, go do that. The offense has to adjust, spread it around. I think they're going to – I honestly feel as if they're going to run the hell out the ball.
I was going to say, are the passes – spread around, or is the entire game plan become more run oriented?
I think it becomes more run oriented. I think the success in the red zone with those Tua rollouts, I think you do more of that in the field. You try to get, you know, more instead of all this cute stuff in the backfield, do it post snap, do the crossers, right. Do the sneak out backsides, let Tua move around. You can't have Tua standing there behind Borum. He's going to let that dude go sooner or later, and Tua's going to get hit in the back of the head.
I would just say the Panthers have one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL. I believe they're last in sacks recorded this year. I think they only have one from their front seven. So he might have a lot of time. I know it's kind of a wash because we have Larry Borum starting on the offensive line. I get that, but Tua might actually have some time to get Waddle into spots and hit him in stride. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect because Mike McDaniel, he loses his favorite weapon.
I'm telling you, this is the game. I'm telling you,
70
this
points?
Is the game.
70 points, Hawk. Let's go. Let's go.
40. I'm tempering my excitement. 40.
Somebody texted in, you're smoking crack if you think the Dolphins are putting 40 on the Panthers.
Right. I mean, after week one, if I said to you there was going to be a single game this season where they'd put up 40 points, you'd say you're smoking crack, right? Yes. I feel like it's headed in that direction, this particular game. But I hate Carolina. I think they're so bad.
But last week's, the Jets game made you see 40?
No, it's Carol. First of all, I think Carolina is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... I don't know. I just have a feeling that this is that game. That now I'm starting to think I might bet an alternate line.
It is
like Dolphins minus 10.
Crowder, it is funny what's happened here where we know Hawk has a natural just hatred towards the Carolina Panthers because he hates Bryce Young. That's been very well established on the show. And
it's terrible.
You just hate the Panthers. You hate the Panthers. The Dolphins barely squeaked by the New York Jets, who might be the worst team in the last decade. They
wait
lost,
till you watch Carolina Sunday.
They lost their best player and their most productive offensive player. And he's like, this
Chuba
is
Hubbard.
It.
Chuba Hubbard, this is the same story. This is what I'm saying. This is a replication of the Jets game. Oh, you're saying the Dolphins lost their best offensive player.
No.
I'm saying Carolina lost their best offensive player.
It's just funny how you've gotten to the
Cancels
point.
Each other out.
You've gotten
Cancels
to the point where you're
out.
Like.
It's like having Tyreek out there still.
This is the formula for the Dolphins to have their best offensive game in 2 years after losing their most impactful offensive player in 25 years. Their offensive line is decimated. And they barely squeak by the New York Football Jets.
What's
this is
Dolphins
the week.
Team total. Let me see what the Dolphins team total is.
Oh, below 20s. 21.
23.5 is even money. 22.5 is -125. 21.5 is -135.
Yeah, low 20s.
I'm going to go over 23.5. I'm going to take Dolphins total, team total, over 23.5.
I don't hate that.
I think Darren Waller might account for 21 of those alone.
I was with you. I was with Hawk on all this, and now I'm starting to really process what he's doing.
I think I've gone a little overboard.
I think I'm going to fade everything you're doing, bro.
Well, trust me, you'd be better off.
Run the ball.
Hey, try to bully him. We're going to talk with Lee Sterling in the next segment anyway, but let me look what the Hurricanes line is.
Just a note here for everybody. When Hawk keeps yelling, Chuba Hubbard or Chuba Hubbard is out, like Chuba Hubbard's out, their backup running back, Rico Dowdle, had 1,000 yards rushing last season. This isn't some guy they just picked up from Tamiami Park.
Oh, but stop it. Come on. That hey, now man. we're going to diminish what Chuba Hubbard meant to that offense?
Chuba Hubbard's great. Trust me. I wish he was playing on my fantasy team. But I'm just saying it's not like all of a sudden it's me as their running back. Like, it's still a really good running back. It's still a decent running
Miami's
back.
Miami's still a 4.5-point favorite at FSU tomorrow.
Yeah, teams are whooping.
Kind of want to put in a Canes double-digit win, Dolphins double-digit win parlay.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
I do kind of feel it. I feel
it. Who wants to make some money? Who wants to make some money?
Lightning bet.
Anybody want to make money? Let's make money.
You have a problem.
Enough pussyfooting around.
The Jags beat the Panthers week one. They rushed for 200 yards. I think that's our game.
HN overs. HN overs.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Golly? Ollie Gordon. I don't know who Golly is.
I actually have $11 on Golly Gordon, and there's no way that thing's going to catch.
His little brother's a monster.
Like Goron and Zora. Ollie and Golly Gordon. Ollie Gordon, what do you want, rushing over?
Yeah.
21.5.
You know what? I like that. A little change of pace. Get downhill. Teach them who's boss.
Solana, for you. Riley Patterson, over under 1.5 made field goals, -130.
You guys saw this stat. Everybody's been tweeting at us about Riley Patterson. It's not really a stat. It's literally just his stats this year, which is 9 of 9 PATs, 4 of 4 field goals, 100% through 4 games. People want Riley Patterson over Jason Sanders.
What's his long? Just out of curiosity.
Like 72, I think. I think he set the
He's been kicking. I was going to say, huh, he been kicking little pinky dinkies, and he's
I was going to say, what's his long? I don't want to diminish the numbers, but I do want to diminish the numbers. What's his long?
Don't change your arguments, fellas. Don't change your arguments. I've been proven right. I have been proven right
through four weeks.
Through 4 weeks, you think you guys are more right than me from the original argument?
He hasn't hit an above average attempt. That's what the argument was about.
He's perfect. He hasn't cost you a game. He's perfect.
But on stuff that you should be perfect on.
You guys aren't going to take the L on this, really. I have been so kind.
This is like talking about a person's field goal percentage, and it's only layups. He only takes layups.
Solana.
He's perfect from...
No.
18.
What's the long?
21.
What's the long I'm looking
32.
For right now?
Who cares what the long is? He has that's, not been an issue. He's
mean?
Been perfect. You talk
oh,
to me about Hawk. You
so
talk to me about
me
percentages.
Who throws 40 for 40, but they're all screen passes. That shows you he's the greatest quarterback ever.
Hawk, I'm going to drive to Boca and fight you. You guys talk to me about percentages. He's a liability
no,
because
we
of his
about
percentages
on long field goals, of which he was terrible.
My point was that there will not be a drop off between Jason Sanders and Riley Patterson. That was it. That was
if
my point.
They can't kick a long field goal, then there is a drop off.
So you're suggesting that the Dolphins haven't kicked a long field goal because it's Riley
yes,
Patterson?
100%.
Okay. Okay.
His long is a 47, tied for 28th in the league.
Boom.
That's pretty good.
Boom.
So what do you mean? Boom.
Boom. That's basically 47. A 50-yarder. And
47 is what they give the kid in college on game day to win $100,000, and half the kids are doing it. Let me know when he hits a 54-yarder. No, let me know when he hits a 54-yarder. Let me know when they attempt a. So you're telling me they've only attempted a 47-yarder with him?
Hawk, you at one point were arguing that losing Jason Sanders was more important than losing a starting tackle. And how's that
That's
working
right.
out for you? How's that working
That's
out
right.
for you with the Dolphins' offensive line on the right side completely decimated? Completely. And
yeah.
Riley
and
Patterson has
still,
not missed a field goal.
They still have Tua throwing passes, but they don't have Riley Patterson kicking long field goals, which is what they had Jason Sanders doing. I was proven right.
So Jason Sanders being pushed longer on the IR and the Dolphins signing Riley Patterson to the 53-man roster is not proof enough for you two that I was right about this argument, that there was no reason to be concerned with Riley Patterson?
All right, well, just keep this same energy when they need a 53-yarder to win a game.
Okay.
Keep this same energy. Because you know what's going to happen? It's going to fall 6 yards short.
Yeah.
We know as long as 47.
Keep giving me montage material. I appreciate it.
He doesn't hit him over 50, and it's a 4-kick sample size, and they were peanut throws.
If you look at that 47-yarder he made, he would have made it from 92 yards. That's how money it was right through the uprights. All right, your weather from Miami right now, it is very cloudy. Looks like it's going to rain. But tonight, the lows will be in the mid-70s. Sponsored by Chill Zone AC, featuring reliable Root AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit chillzoneac.com.
Most coordinators, they look at you statistically, see how people are trying to attack you, and it's a copycat league. And until we stop it, that's what we're going to see. I have the utmost faith in our ability to do that. It's got to start this week, and we got to start the game faster. That's really been a theme for us. I thought we had an op in New England on fourth down to get off the field. We didn't. Really probably the same thing in Indy. I think it was a fourth down conversion that led to the extended drive. And then Buffalo, we gave a touchdown too. So fortunately, Jack turned the tides, but we had about an inch to work with. So we gotta be able to start faster in these games.
Anthony Weaver there. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale. One location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Miami Dolphins set to hit the road, man, tomorrow for Sunday game against Carolina Panthers. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist, joins us. Perk, as I say good morning to you right off the bat, I thought you had a little Tyreek Hill hangover. As you said, it didn't look good with Tyreek Hill out for this team, losing Tyreek Hill. And it is the first time in 4 years that we know there will be no Tyreek Hill for these last 12 games.
Joe, I'm not optimistic about this offense. I hope that they do well. I really do. But, you know, the truth is, as you know, I always say this offense is built on two things, Tyreek Hill and the threat of Tyreek Hill. In the 2023 and 24 season, the Dolphins were 11-0 when Tyreek had 100 or more yards, 7-17 when he had 99 or fewer. So I want to see how Mike McDaniel evolves this offense without Tyreek. Are they going to try to force the deep pass? Are they going to go to that dink and dunk from last year? Do you rely on Devon Achane more? He's got a lot of options. Mike is a creative guy. Let's see what happens. But I've got to be convinced that this offense can be successful without Tyreek.
So, and by the way, very fair. I agree with you. Very, very fair about some of that. But I thought Mike called one of his best game plans, best games. Yep. And what he put in, rolling out, I think it's going to be more of that style, which did not call for Tyreek Hill to run deep last week, just 10 yards, 11 yards a catch, and keep the chains moving and two outside the pocket and a more of a commitment to the running game. Don't you think we saw a little bit of what their game plan is for the rest of the year last week?
I hope so. 31 runs and 25 passes. We saw Achane 20 carries for 99 yards. Like you said, we saw Tua rolling out a lot to his left. You know, the right side of that offensive line is still a work in progress. It's kind of a, you know, guess who's playing right guard this week game there at right guard. Larry Borm is there at right tackle instead of Austin Jackson. So, you know, rolling Tua, if you're going to roll him out, it makes sense to roll him to the left. That's the stronger side of the offensive line, and that's his, you know, he's a left-handed quarterback, so it makes a lot more sense to roll him out to the left. But, you know, Joe, you've got Darren Waller there too now. And so, you know, you
what a great
it's
story.
Not a, yeah, yeah, and it's not an all-or-nothing deal with the pass where you either have to do dink and dunk or you have to go deep. Waller is there for the intermediate pass. He's got his size that he can use in situational football. So third down, red zone, goal line. You know, we saw that last week. So, yeah, there are options. I really want to see what Mike McDaniel does. Yep. He's a creative guy. I think he got stuck on relying on Tyreek a little bit too much. And now that Tyreek's not an option, I do think his creativity will be forced to show itself a lot more. So I'm very interested to see what Mike comes up with.
Well, I tell you, what a target, though. Like nobody's business having a 6'6 guy down there in the red zone or, as you said, inside the 10-yard line or close to the goal to be able to throw it up. And, boy, right off the bat, he threw one up high for him in the back of the end zone that just looked so good. So Omar got going about, like, ready to fire all the rookies on the defensive line and bring in Christian Wilkins. And, you know, he went Omar on me, just totally out there with some crazy-ass stuff that he says. I don't even know if Christian Wilkins healthy enough to play, nor do I think he wants to come here right now, nor do the Dolphins probably want him. They're going to keep playing, and they need to keep playing these young guys. Do you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, me and Omar in that media room, we go at it.
Yes, you do.
We go, me and Omar, it's a show in itself, which you know, me and Omar covered the Dolphins together for 6 years at the Sentinel, so it's all friendly, but we go at it. But, yeah, you've got to stick with the youth movement, right? Because, and as a matter of fact, that's what I'm writing about the youngsters for my column today, that, look, you've made this commitment to youth in the trenches, right? Like last year you drafted Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul. This year, Kenneth Grant and Jonas Abayinaya. I know that they're not off to a great start as a group. Patrick Paul has been outstanding.
Yep.
The other three are struggling. But it's a small sample size. Even looking at Chop with his, 17 and 421 game sample size, that's a small sample size when you talk about a career, Joe. So you've got to commit to them. And I heard you yesterday. I agree with you. You can't go into next season. You can't bench Kenneth Grant and go into next season saying, boy, I wonder if our first round pick can play. He's got to play all 17 games. You've got to figure it out. And here's the other thing, Joe, as you know, if you talk to these young players, they will tell you that the improvement that you make between your first and second years is a big one.
Absolutely.
Because
Great point.
Going into your rookie year, yep, you're not training for football in the offseason. You're training for the combine. You're training for 40-yard dash and shuttle run and bench press. That next season, you actually get to work on football. And we saw that with Patrick Paul. And, you know, you get to do football things, knowing the playbook. You can do football-specific drills and exercises. So I do think that there's reason to believe that even if Kenneth Grant has a rough rookie year,
yeah,
you could see a jump going into his second year.
So the only thing I would add to that is if you got a guy that just flat out, like we had a couple of pass rushers over the last 10 or 15 years that did lose their confidence and they were shot. Nothing was working and they went into a funk to the point of, I'm guessing, even touched on mental health. Well, they did. And so if it was one of those situations, but outside of that, these guys look like fighters to me. Jordan Phillips, Kenneth Grant, Savaya Nye, they look like they're fighters, man. They're going to fight through this. They get it. The team stayed behind them. They're working with them. Hey, man, it's like they're playing against the best team in the college football every week now that you're playing pros. You get good players every week. And I know there is more pressure on Kenneth Grant. And look, you took one of the top defensive tackles when you grabbed him. And the number one thing I heard about him was stopping the run.
Yep.
And it hasn't happened, and there's a little more pressure on him. I do agree, but I'm not giving up on him. I'm with you, Perk.
No. And you know what? There's even a little potential we see beyond the guys you mentioned. Jason Marshall Jr., he's out with a hamstring, but he was in there playing some nickel. Dante Trader, you know, we seen him out there on some special teams and from scrimmage. So, you know, just give these guys some time. I know that the Cam Smith thing didn't work out, and they kind of snuck that under the radar.
Good timing on it, though. Pretty good timing with it, right? All right, now's the time to let him go. Get him out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, we laughed about that.
But I do like that they decided to go with this youth movement. Who knows if it works out, but you couldn't continue spending on players like Tyreek and Chubb and Teron Armstead.
Not going
to
happen.
Playoff victories to show for it.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about Jaylen Waddle. Now the number one dude. No one, no 1A, no 1B. You are the best receiver on this team. Nothing against all the other guys. I think they got some nice pieces that can help Mike and Tua. But this about a guy that was a high number one pick now getting a chance to be the big dog. What should we expect from Jaylen Waddle and what Mike can do for him with Tua and the extra time they spent together this offseason while Tyreek was injured?
Well, I think you hit on it when you said what Mike can do for him, right? Because we saw Jaylen Waddle as a number one receiver as a rookie and his second year. If I'm not mistaken, he had a rookie record or a two-year record for receptions, and he was 1,000 yards both seasons. But you can't just leave him out there on an island, right? You can't just say, okay, you're our best receiver. Go out there and do damage. You've got to figure out how to utilize Devon Achane, who had 78 receptions. You've got to make the defense think, oh, they could also go to Achane. You got Waller. You got NWI, Nick Westbrook Akine, another big receiver. You got Malik Washington in the slot.
Yeah.
You've got to make all of these guys a threat while keeping Jaylen Waddle your top threat. And that makes Jaylen Waddle better. But you can't just leave Waddle out there on an island and let defenses know we're going Waddle, 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 Waddle. And, you know, then they double cover him and he never gets open. So to me, the first part of this is up to Mike McDaniel. How do you scheme this up? And then it's going to be up to Jaylen Waddle to become the threat that he was his rookie year and his second year.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You know what's amazing? Remember how concerned we were like a month or month and a half, 2 months ago about the cornerback position, and all of a sudden Jack Jones and Rasul Douglas are playing really well. Really well. Tackling, creating takeaways, turnovers, and then on top of that, their coverage has been really good. These two guys can still play, especially in Coach Weaver's system.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was my column today, and look, I'm not saying that these guys are going to be Pro Bowlers. None of them are going to be Pro Bowlers, but they're doing a better job than we thought. They're exceeding expectations. Rasul Douglas and Jack Jones, and now you got Cornell Armstrong coming through in the slot because Kader Kohu got injured. I mentioned Jason Marshall Jr. got injured. I like what Weave is doing at the fifth defensive back. Sometimes he'll bring in Dante Trader. Sometimes it's Cornell Armstrong. Sometimes they do the three safety thing, right, with Minka Fitzpatrick, Ashton Davis, and Ify Milifonwu. So I like what's going on overall with Weave in the secondary. We knew they were going to be a weakness. Let's just say it. We knew they were going to be a weakness, but those quarterbacks, who I thought was going to be the number one weakness on the team, they have not been that. To me, the front seven has been the biggest disappointment. They haven't been the biggest weakness, but they've been the biggest disappointment. I like what those corners have done. Jack Jones made, to this point, that might be the Dolphins' play of the year, right?
Absolutely. I
mean, you save a touchdown in a 27-21 win that you badly needed. That's a huge play. So I like what I've seen from those corners. Again, I'm not saying that they're Pro Bowl caliber, but they are definitely not a disappointment to this point through four games.
You feel good about the matchups with Carolina, who's got a ton of their own problems after what just happened in New England. You feel pretty good about this game, or is this another dogfight?
I think it's a dogfight. I really do. I feel good about the Dolphins winning. But I think it's going to be a close game because it's a road game. It is a game without Tyreek, your first game without Tyreek. And you're almost comparable opponents from what we've seen. Now, we know that Carolina is 1-3, but all three of those losses have been on the road. They beat Atlanta 30-0.
Yeah,
that was their only home game. Yeah, they beat them up. So you've got to pay attention to that. But I think the Dolphins are good enough to get this victory. And I mean, Joe, they've got to get this victory. You can't give that Jets victory back and fall down to 1-4. You need to assert yourself and build some confidence and kind of let the league know we still beat up on bad teams. Like, you can't just think that we're going to be a cakewalk just because we don't have Tyreek. The Dolphins do still have talent, Joe. But these guys, they got to kind of buck up and show what they're going to be. And I do point to that front seven as the area that needs the most improvement. We saw Tua have his best game last week. So he's on the, you would like to think.
He did.
He's
he had a nice bounce back. You're right.
Step up. He did. He had a very nice bounce back.
I thought, Mike, his play action fakes were fantastic. I mean, he got my eyeballs a couple of times last week on that. Good throws, good decisions, no turnovers. All that stuff was great. Hey, Chris, thanks, man. Always nice having you. I appreciate it.
All right, Joe, we'll do it again.
No, none of the I did all that stuff yesterday, and Omar was taking shots at your personal life, and I'm not.
Oh, I heard it.
You did.
I heard it, and I saw Omar down at Dolphin. So, I heard the whole thing. Yeah, Bo chipping in. I heard it.
Bo's a bad guy, too. He was trying to get him going. And I got to tell you, Bo's a bad man. When you see him go, Bo, you're a bad guy. You try to instigate and get Omar going, who – by the way, he showed me a picture of the girl he's with. That thing, that's not looking good, man. I hope she's not listening, but that's not looking good. That's not good.
I had some success last weekend, Joe. I might go out tonight. We'll see. One of my boys is playing in a band up in Fort Lauderdale. But the rain might keep everybody in. So we'll see. But I might go out and take a few swings, take a few.
You know what? You know, we'll a couple see. Old school come up to, and you're like me in the old days, not now, of course. But, a little no occasionally, and no, I don't want you to buy me a drink. And my friend and I were talking, and could you leave, please? Those never bothered me. Those never got in my way. Perk, thank you, man.
I'll see you later.
Perk, you're a fighter, man. There's no question about it. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.